My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Let's start with a very positive story. A World War II veteran named Frank Grassberger, back in 2009, received a letter from a 9-year-old little girl who thanked him for his service during the war. The letter touched him so much, he still carries it around with him at his nursing home. His bucket list was to meet that little girl who sent that letter, and after years of searching, he was finally able to do it. Now, she's all grown up, serving in the National Guard.
Inside the Vitalia Senior Residences in Strongsville, Ohio, 95-year-old Frank Grassberger sits on a treasure. Literally sits. In fact, Frank says, other than his wife Dolores, almost nothing matters more to him than this note, which he carries everywhere.
I'd never be without it.
Why did it matter so much that you have it with you all the time?
Because it's something that somebody thought of me that much.
When he has that letter with him, he has a feeling of faith and trust and love.
To understand how a letter can do all that, you first need to know that Frank is a World War II veteran. And back in 2009, a third grader wrote to thank him for his service. If it wasn't for you, we would never have freedom. I'm so happy you made sacrifices. Your friend, Deshauna Priest. To Frank, that simple thank you came to symbolize a life well served.
I'm tickled at that I have a letter like this.
He wanted to thank the author.
We never could find her. He says, before I close my eyes, I have to find her. I have to find her.
Just about everyone who works here was well aware of Frank's attachment to that letter and his decade-long desire to find the little girl who wrote it. So the staff did some sleuthing, and lo and behold,
Deshauna is now 21. She vividly remembers writing the letter as a school assignment because she so admired people in uniform.
It's just like, wow.
I get to write to a veteran.
Yeah.
So it was like an honor.
Yeah.
An honor that continued.
So here she is.
When Deshauna surprised Frank in her National Guard uniform.
Oh, I love you so much.
You can't imagine the feeling I had when she stood next to me. It just took my breath away. It really did.
I thought, where's his heart pills? Because I thought, oh, this is it. This is the big one.
I'm telling you, this is a godsend. It really is.
Fortunately, Frank's heart only swelled and may never return to its original size.
So this is the beginning of something.
Yeah, a friendship. Family, not friendship.
There's love there, deep down in the heart. She like my third daughter. She really is.
It started with a lot of love and affection, and it's ending the same way.
Who knew a simple thank you could make a life complete?
Fox News Local 26 has done a wonderful job in a series they call Breaking Bond, where they have taken actual cases, not the cold, dry statistics, but actual cases, and shown you the results of what happens when you let bad guys back out on the street, and bad girls, it turns out. A Houston woman with a murder charge. She allegedly stabbed her neighbor and dumped her body in the ditch, released on $50,000 bond, which means she only had to come up with $5,000. Now she's been arrested for stabbing a possible witness in that same murder case.
In our ongoing series, Breaking Bond, we've been telling you how some judges release repeat violent offenders from jail by granting them multiple bonds. And some of those offenders just commit more crimes. Now, what Felicia Washington is accused of doing while out on bond, it sounds like something out of a movie. Last July, we told you how Harris County Criminal District Court Judge Chris Morton repeatedly freed 38-year-old convicted felon Jeffrey Robertson from jail. Morton granted the alleged serial burglar a total of 14 bonds. When 27-year-old murder suspect Felicia Washington ended up in Judge Chris Morton's court, the DA's office requested a $100,000 bond, but Morton lowered it to just 50 grand. She walked out of jail last December.
What we did in court today was simply prove that this defendant, Ms. Washington, violated a number of her bond conditions from the murder.
Washington is accused of murdering Ramona Jones, a mother of three, last October.
It cut us real deep. It was very unexpected.
Jasmine Jones is Ramona's oldest daughter.
It's been hard on all of us. It affected us in all different types of ways. You know, she was a grandmother, mother, daughter, auntie.
Now Washington is accused of stabbing a possible witness to the murder.
This individual, who was on bond for murder, was outside of her residence, outside of her curfew hours, and had some pretty significant contact with a witness on that murder.
I think it's about the worst thing you can do, you know, right before, you know, going before a trial. You know, that just screams out, guilty, guilty, guilty.
Just yesterday, the DA's office released a 60-page report that makes it clear. Judges who are releasing defendants on multiple felony and or PR bonds are driving the rise in crime here.
When people commit offenses or violate the conditions of those bonds, they should no longer have the opportunity to be out until their cases are over. For the safety of the community, for the safety of everyone involved.
And yet it continues. Boss Ogg is now trying to distance herself from the bail reform mess she and Sylvester Turner and the Comandante helped create. Her office releases a new report detailing how bond reform is driving the spike in crime. A little late to this game, aren't you? So now she wants to act like she's all law and order after she was part of the group that set the wheels in motion for the Harris County bond pandemic. 60-page report by her office finds that the number of suspects on bond charged with new offenses in the county has more than doubled from 6,344 in 15 to 13,160 in 2020. Data for this year already shows 18,820 cases. Ogg's office projects there will be close to 24,000 cases this year. That's compared to 6,015 of people out on bond committing another crime. Ogg says, this report confirms the experiences of prosecutors, police, and crime victims. Bail reform, as presently practiced in some Harris County courts, will continue to be a driving factor in the crime crisis gripping our community. Between 15 and 19, the number of defendants who reoffended within a year rose 95%. And those who reoffended within 90 days rose 139%. In addition, the overall bond forfeiture rate in the county has increased by 50% since the implementation of bond reform. But the district attorney notes the statistics may be further skewed since judges have also been less likely to revoke a bond since 2019. Also, every violent crime in Houston showed an increase. Every crime category in Houston showed an increase in monthly offenses following the implementation of bond reforms back in February of 2019, and all but one category of violent crime has continued to trend upward since. This is what Democrats wanted. They wanted murderers and rapists and robbers and pedophiles, when arrested, to be released out on the street to commit more crimes. They got it, and they did.
My Michael Berry. The Michael Berry Show.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
It's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Said, go ahead and ask her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer. Every way love's a little stronger. Come what may.
Even though Buddy Holly died in 1959, had he not, it was conceivable that he could still be alive today. Because he was only 22 years old in 1959 when he died. Buddy Holly, born on this day in 1936, he would be 85. It's hard to believe. He's been gone so long, and that it's... The Gary Busick portrayal of him. It's really good.
Every day seems a little longer.
Charles Hardin Holly, known to the world as Buddy. Things are in such bad shape in Harris County. The Harris County judge is now accused, credibly so, of rigging a bid to give it to a Democrat operative. Her biggest complaint about all the questions asked were saying that it's not a one-woman shop. But it is a one-woman shop because the website for the company says it's a one-woman shop. She gave an $11 million contract for, quote, COVID PR outreach to a Democrat operative who was the campaign manager for Adrian Garcia, who's one of her fellow commissioners. There's three Democrats on commissioner's court and only two Republicans. And they're pulling everything out. $11 million to a Democrat operative. And in order to do that, you had to disqualify the UT Health Science Center. In order to give it to a one-woman shop, here's $11 million. Well, UT Health Science Center also bid for it. So Comandante said, y'all don't really qualify. Do y'all have any experience? Y'all don't really qualify. We're going to go ahead and kick y'all out. And that leaves us with, oh, what were the chances? The woman that I wanted to give the contract to in the first place. Fox 26's Greg Grugan reports on the corruption.
We've learned the winner of this multi-million dollar contract had neither the highest evaluation score or anywhere close to the best price, which has left many wondering if county leaders are really doing right by taxpayers.
Bring it on. Bring it on, because there is nothing here.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo defending a controversial $11 million COVID-19 outreach project awarded to Elevate Strategies, a one-woman company with a very short 19-month track record headquartered in a Montrose apartment. Rife political analyst Mark Jones calls the deal a thinly veiled political pass-through.
This was a RFP that from the very start was wired to go to Elevate Strategies to provide political money for Lena Hidalgo's supporters.
More from Jones later. In the days since Hidalgo's challenge, Fox 26 has sought and obtained public documents, the actual score sheets from the five-person committee evaluating four different proposals. Turns out, Elevate Strategies actually lost the competition, coming in second behind the $7 million bid of the University of Texas Health Science Center, a renowned institution with plenty of resources. But that's when this COVID communication saga reversed course. Harris County purchasing agent Dwight Dolploff tells Fox 26 the contract committee later contacted his office to disqualify UT Health, claiming the winning bidder was behind schedule on an existing project with the county. And just like that, the runner-up was back in the game. With Hidalgo's current chief of staff, Alex Triantafillis, as its ranking member, standard financial fitness requirements were eventually waived, and the contract committee voted to recommend Elevate Strategies for an $11 million contract, a substantial $4 million premium over the bid from UT Health.
I have no personal interest nor political interest in any of this.
That's pretty laughable. I think we all know that Lynn Hidalgo knew exactly what was going on, and that's just trying to provide some cover and something that's blown up in her face.
And there you have it. UT Health Science Center, highly regarded, highly respected, established medical institution in this country that happens to be located here. And she said, "Nah, not them. They came in at $7 million. No, I can't give them $7 million and still give $11 million to these Democrat political operatives. I can't do that. So I'm just going to go ahead and kick them out. You mean the same group you've been telling us? You know, trust the scientists. These are the most respected people ever. These are the public policy experts." And now, granted, it's a BS contract, COVID PR outreach. It's a BS contract, and it was always supposed to be. They create things like this in order to give money to their friends. The problem is, UT Health Science Center thought, what would they know, thought they might be qualified to do this. No, you won't. We're going to go with this one-woman shop political operative that's worked on all our campaigns and Hillary Clinton's campaign. You've got the National Democrat Party now giving direction to Rodney Ellis, Adrian Garcia, and the girl child, Comandante, and they're just there. Where are the troughs of money? See, this is how this game works. They used to do this with terrorism. Remember, I told you the story, told it a few times, but it really sticks out. The city was spending, there was a contract before us to buy trash cans inside the airport. And they were upwards of $100,000. Let's say it was $80,000 a trash can. And everybody, it was anti-terrorism. And I said, sorry, over here, yeah, I'm the one that always causes the problems. Here he goes again. What does this $80,000 trash can do? Because, I mean, it should polish my shoes as well. I mean, that should do some things, right? There's entire automobiles. Most entire automobiles do not call, and they got a lot of intricate systems. This is a trash can. Does this thing empty itself? I mean, does it dispense water as well? What does it do? Well, Councilman, if a bomb is dropped into the can will assist in minimizing the damage that's done from the bomb. Like how? Well, it will absorb most of the bomb's blast. Most but not all? Well, yeah. Okay, well, so what if instead of putting the bomb in the trash can, you put the bomb right beside the trash can? It won't do anything then. Okay. Are we having a big problem with bombs being brought into the airport but then put in the trash cans? Well, not yet, but we hope to prevent that. Well, why not make every toilet bomb-proof? You hadn't been in our bathroom when Ramon has burritos. I mean, why not every area that the custodians work in, every custodial closet? So finally somebody said, well, it's federal money. It doesn't matter. It's federal money. This is where it all goes wrong. If it says in 2003, 2004, if it said anti-terrorism, we're for it. They're using this COVID to pay their buddy, and they've been caught now, and nothing will ever be done about it because Kim Ogg's not going to prosecute this. The whole committee to decide this was Lena Hidalgo's office.
We're going to have a meeting now of the committee. Bob, look over here. We're meeting now for the committee. We choose the Democrat operative. $11 million. Congratulations. It was a tough process.
Guitars, cigars, and a few thoughts from the Czar. The Michael Berry Show.
When I die, will you give me all your love and the hurdle, darling? All you hurt, kisses, and your money, too.
That is a live version of That'll Be the Day by a 21-year-old Buddy Holly. Performing on the Ed Sullivan Show, December 1st, 1957. He would die 3 months later. Hard to believe. Imagine if your life's body of work was stopped when you were 22. Our friend Chance McClain is nothing short of nutty. And somehow he managed to find, because it's Gloria Gaynor's birthday today, born on this day as Gloria Foles in Newark, New Jersey in 1949, he found an edited version of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive by Maestro Zikos, where he tuned Donald Trump's voice singing the song. We've posted it to the blog as well, if for some weird reason you would want to hear it. But here goes.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. Cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give. I'll survive. I will survive. Bing, bong.
And there you have it. I'm not sure what's worse, that someone made it, that Chance went and found it and sent it, or that we just played it in its entirety. General Motors will shut production at most of their North American plants for a week, maybe two, beginning next week, due to the worsening chip shortage that has taken a bite out of production. GM and other automakers had hoped the chip shortage would be mostly behind them, but a surge in COVID cases in Southeast Asia, where many of the chip manufacturers are based, has made the problem worse for automakers. Only a small handful of GM's plants will remain in operation during the pause. Those plants make full-size SUVs and pickups, as well as some of their sports cars, like the Camaro and the Corvette. That is because GM is prioritizing the chips it does have on hand for its most popular and profitable vehicles. Still, some of its large pickup and SUV production capacity will be affected by the shutdown. Tight chip supply has led to limited inventory of new vehicles at General Motors and across the industry, which in turn has pushed car prices to record highs. Just about all major automakers have limited production plans as a method to deal with the shortages. I like to talk to business owners, and so I will call Jeff Sebastian at Classic Chevy Sugarland and get a weekly update on how things are going and how you manage during times like this. You have to manage your inventory. You still have salesmen on staff. You still have, the finance people that have to handle from when you decide you want to buy the vehicle to getting the financing put in place. It is at times like this that business owners are challenged beyond the normal levels to try to find a way to keep your business going, to get through a very tough time. So we have another story involving Rolling Stone magazine and a hoax. And this particular hoax concerns a small town in Oklahoma where it was reported by a doctor that gunshot victims were coming into the emergency room but being turned away and not offered treatment as they died because there was an outbreak, an ivermectin overdose. Rachel Maddow did an entire segment on the fact that these ignorant hillbillies in Oklahoma had OD'd on a horse dewormer. The New York Times ran the story. The Post ran. Everybody ran the story on the idiots in Oklahoma overdosing on a horse dewormer. The only problem? It wasn't true. In fact, not only was it not true, the Rolling Stone magazine ran with it and promoted the hell out of the story. The doctor who supposedly witnessed the emergency room unable to treat people because he was having to deal with all these ivermectin cases, the hospital revealed that he hasn't been to that hospital in over 2 months. He's part of a staffing group that has worked there, but he hasn't been there in quite some time. Yet he was quoted everywhere. We told y'all not to take that ivermectin. Now look what's happened. Well, it's not true. Are there any consequences for this? How does it always happen that these stories are told and turn out to be a lie? It's almost as if they want them to be true. And Rolling Stone really owned the story. The same Rolling Stone that told you about the University of Virginia rape case, it turned out to be a hoax. They lost millions of dollars when they were sued by the University of Virginia and the family members who supposedly committed a rape that never happened. That story had holes all over it, but it needed to be true. We needed frat boys to have raped a young girl at a university to get the Me Too movement going. Don't let the facts get in the way. And they didn't hear. But let me ask you this question. If, in fact, ivermectin doesn't work, why are they so concerned that Trump supporters are taking it?
This is our talk radio.
It's the Michael Berry Show.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Shine.
18 years ago today, Warren Zevon died of cancer. Peritoneal mesothelioma in L.A. at only 56 years old. Back to the contract that Lena Hidalgo gave to the Democrat operative. There was a five-member committee that was reviewing the bids. When the bids came in, the outside world didn't know this, but of the five members of the committee, one was her chief of staff, Alex Triantafylos. One was her deputy policy director, Wallace Nader, and one was her emergency management senior advisor. These are three of her staffers directly from her office. The other two members are a racial equity and health justice strategist named Stacey Loftin and a community health project manager at Harris County Public Health, Dixie Sasu. So let's look at the two comparisons for Elevate Strategies, the Democrat operative, and the UT Health Science Center. First of all, the Elevate Strategies, that UT Health Science Center bid was $7,500,000. The Elevate Strategies was $19,343,000. They were almost three times as much, $12 million more for theirs. When you totaled up the scoring sheets, the two individuals that aren't directly in Lena Hidalgo's office each gave 26 points to Elevate Strategies. They gave 56 and 60 points to UT Health Science Center. But let's look at what Lena Hidalgo's office did. They gave, instead of 26 points to Elevate Strategies, 50, 50, and 52. The two staffers, the two individuals who do not work directly for Lena Hidalgo, gave Elevate 26 and 26 for a total score of 204. The two individuals that work outside gave UT Health Science Center 56 and 60 for a total score of 240. UT Health Science Center, even with the process stacked with a majority of the people in her office on the committee, UT Health Science Center still won 240 to 204. Even with it rigged, they still won. So Lena Hidalgo disqualified them. And they're doing this in broad daylight.
Bring it on. Y'all just bring it on, because there is nothing here to hide.
She always has that sound like a little kid who is still waiting to figure out how she's going to end the sentence that she's just started, because she knows she's lying and she knows she's in over her head.
Bring it on. I say bring it on, because there is nothing here.
Okay. Well, then let's investigate, shall we? Let's investigate the internal communications. Maybe you had the good sense to do everything you did verbally, but maybe somebody wrote something down. Maybe you're going to get caught because somebody wrote something down and you're going to get busted. Maybe, just maybe, the Harris County District Attorney's Office will open an investigation. But I doubt it. This would be an opportunity for her to at least try to show she has some independence from the Democrat Party in Harris County. But I'm not holding my breath. Marianne, you're up.
Hi, this is Marianne, and I just want to verify that I did take the ivermectin about a week ago. Mm-hmm. I felt kind of very tired, and I wasn't sure I was getting the COVID until Thursday morning, September 1st, when I woke up, and my throat was closed, and I was real feeling low. And I had the ivermectin on hand. I had given it to two other friends / employees in my organization, and it worked very good for them. My throat immediately felt better. Within 30 minutes, my throat was totally okay. And other than being a little buzzy-headed, I didn't experience any of the other horrendous congestion, coughing, diarrhea, throwing up, nothing. Friday morning, September the 2nd, my throat was, again, a little bit closed when I woke up, and I took the dosage again, which is about 2 cc's and based on body weight, and immediately the throat was better. I took 4 doses, which is what's recommended, and I've still kind of quarantined myself for the benefit of others, and today I feel totally normal, and I'm going to mask, but I'm probably going to go ahead and go into my work is outside at a stable and go in and check on things there. There's two really good audio tapes out. Michael, I don't know if you've read them or not. It's the story of ivermectin. Have you seen that by any chance?
I haven't. No, but I've read a lot about it.
Okay. It goes way back in the history and how much they've used it in South America and Africa. And the countries that it had been used heavily in, guess what? Most of them did not get COVID. It was used for blind river disease, was one of the primary diseases used for it.
Yep. It attacks parasites very aggressively. It's part of the avermectin or avermectin family of drugs. Ivermectin is within that family of drugs. It was discovered in 75. It was approved for medical use in 81. It actually is FDA approved. The World Health Organization includes it on its list of essential medicines. In 2015, William Campbell and Satoshi Omura won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for its discovery and application for human use. In 2018, it was the 420th most prescribed medication in the U.S. with more than 100,000 prescriptions. It's used to prevent and treat yellow fever and malaria all over Africa. So let me ask you this. Why would they write a story saying that people had OD'd on ivermectin? Why are they so determined? You know, a lot of pharmacies will not distribute it right now. First, they tell us we can't come outside because we'll make them sick. Now we can't take the drug that we're using to treat it that's working for many people because that might make us sick. It's starting to sound really, really squirrely, isn't it?
I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.